Brian Kavanaugh, please.
Sure. Good morning again. So I'll just start off with these pictures just to describe a little bit about what we do. In the upper left-hand corner, you see one of our biologists doing some stream sampling. In the upper right, you see a couple of our biologists getting ready to dive in a lake to do an invasive plant survey. Down the bottom left, you've got just a beautiful picture of one of the lakes that we help to protect and monitor. And down the bottom right, those are a couple of new open bottom culverts. That's a program actually run through the commissioner's office, a grant program that helps to replace smaller culverts that impede fish passage and don't pass enough water to improve the passage. So next slide, please. So I'm just going to hit these at a pretty high level. First, the Bureau is made up of two divisions. We've got the Division of Water Quality Management, which is led by Division Director Greg Wood. And that division manages the regulatory programs, such as the control of discharges to waters of the state. And generally speaking, that's the regulatory side of the Bureau. The other division is the Division of Environmental Assessment, led by Division Director Don Witherall. And that division manages the water quality monitoring and assessment and modeling programs. And generally speaking, that division is the science side of the Bureau. But the two divisions work together in an integrated fashion to protect and improve the waters of the state. And depending on how you count the programs, there's roughly 12 separate programs in each division. We've got a total of 83 full-time staff. We currently have 9 vacancies due to some funding issues, but we hope to hire some of those in the near future. So much of what we do is driven by the water classification system. All the waters in the state are classified in statute. The classifications are essentially directives to the department on how the waters of the state should be managed. The classifications include designated uses such as recreation in and on the water, drinking water, habitat for fish and other aquatic life, and water quality should be suitable to ensure that these uses are met. The classifications also include criteria, things such as dissolved oxygen levels, bacteria levels that are indicators of the health of the water bodies and are used to ensure the designated uses are met. So ensuring that the waters of the state meet water quality standards is the foundation for much of what our Bureau does. And one of the ways we do that is through water quality monitoring. We've got a variety of programs that monitor water quality, both marine waters and fresh waters. And the parameters that we look for include toxics, bacteria, dissolved oxygen, macroinvertebrate health, and other chemical and biological indicators. And if the waters are determined to be in non-attainment, there's a variety of programs that are implemented to identify the cause and to fix it. And these include regulatory programs, such as the Waste Discharge Licensing Program, and also assistance programs, such as grants to control non-point source pollution. So we use a variety of approaches to protect and improve the waters of the state, including licensing, compliance, enforcement, technical assistance, financial assistance, and education and outreach. And one threat in particular that I'll mention is the threat from invasive plants. Invasive plants such as Eurasian water milfoil and hydrilla displace native plant communities, and infestations can result in habitat disruption and loss of property values, diminished water quality, reduced fishing and recreational opportunities, and significant expense for mitigating these environmental impacts. So the department administers a multifaceted program that includes prevention, early detection, and control of invasives. And I mention this because you will see a bill from the department this session designed to try to strengthen this program. The other thing worth mentioning is wastewater discharges. The Bureau licenses discharges to waters of the state under the Clean Water Act. We're a delegated program, and also under state law. This includes discharges from municipal wastewater treatment facilities, businesses, and industry. And the licenses establish limits that ensure that water quality standards will be met. And we've got a comprehensive program to regulate discharges through licensing, compliance inspections, review of monitoring data, enforcement, technical assistance, and financial assistance. And I'll close with the topic of municipal wastewater infrastructure. If you could advance to the next slide, please. So this is a picture of the Greater Augusta Utility District right here in Augusta. This is where all of Augusta's wastewater goes, as well as Hollowell, Winthrop, Manchester, and Monmouth. And if you walk down the rail trail in Augusta, about a half mile down, you see this on the right-hand side. So all the wastewater from this facility is treated, disinfected, and discharged to the Kennebec River. So Maine has 163 municipal or quasi-municipal wastewater treatment facilities. These facilities treat all the wastewater from our homes, businesses, and industries. It's a vital and often overlooked infrastructure that's extremely important for the protection of water quality, the protection of public health, and the foundation for a strong economy. The current known financial need for upgrading and replacing Maine's wastewater infrastructure is approximately $1 billion. And often at some point in the legislative session, there's a discussion on how to best fund this need. So I'll close there. I'll be happy to take any questions, and thank you for your time. I look forward to further discussions throughout the session on water-related issues.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kavanaugh. Representative Dudera has a question.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Director Kavanaugh. I'm pretty familiar with the water quality work you do. We have a small camp in Representative Ziegler's district, so we are always monitoring the water there and the invasive plant there, and our pond association is very strong on that. But I was wondering, are plastics and microplastics, are they considered anything that you measure in terms of water quality?
We're not measuring those at the moment. We're currently involved in a case with us, you may have heard about, down in Searsport, where there was a spill of a couple of bales of shredded plastic. So we're aware of the issue, but I won't say that we have a separate program just for microplastics.
And Representative Tucker.
Hello, Mr. Kavanaugh.
Good morning.
In the 129th, we increased the fees on wastewater dischargers. And I wanted to find out if that money has come through the pipeline yet, whether you've been able to hire new people, and whether you've had any pushback from the dischargers. I wondered if things have evened out now that that increase has passed.
Sure.
Question is, does the department have any reclassification bills of its own coming up? Thank you.
So on the first question regarding the fees, we were very grateful to get the fee increase last session. Based on our fee schedule, we first started to implement the new fees in November of this year for certain types of stormwater discharges, industrial discharges. There's approximately 500 entities that pay that stormwater fee. We have had, I believe, about four or five calls from people that were concerned about the increase. In terms of the point source discharges, such as a municipal or industrial facility, those will start to be feed this year, starting in this quarter, and then roughly 25% of the discharges get feed every quarter. So the revenue will come in throughout this year. As you may recall, that fee was not structured to actually help us hire more people. It was to help us just sustain the staff that we had, because our projections were going into the red pretty severely in the next several years. So it was to keep us solvent out several years, but it doesn't necessarily help us to hire more staff. And your second?
Yes, water reclass.
Yes, in terms of water reclass, we're in the midst of what's called a triennial review process, which is something that's required under the Clean Water Act, which is a comprehensive look at all of the state's water quality standards. It's a fairly massive undertaking, and we put out requests for comments from the general public and interested parties, and also EPA and ideas from our own staff. We've got about 40 different things that we're looking at for potential changes to water quality. And that will go through another public comment period. It will eventually go to our Board of Environmental Protection, and some may come back to the legislature next session. And within that package, there may be upgrades that have been suggested by outside entities. But in this session, we're aware that there is a bill for an upgrade of the Lower Androscoggin River, and we're looking forward to being able to testify on that and inform the committee about the issues around that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Ziegler has a question.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can. And we can see you too.
Yes, I switched over to the laptop, and I will probably have to do that going forward. In regards to Searsport, were you notified in a timely manner regarding the spill? It's understanding that they dropped it over the side at night. And having been involved in this for many, many years, you would immediately call the state's EPA or DEP. And I wondered if they were good about that and they handled it well.
When the bale went overboard, we were not notified by Sprague. We found out about it about a week later due to a citizen complaint. Someone was walking along the beach adjacent to the terminal, saw the plastic, called the department, and then we tracked it back to Sprague. I will note that there was no legal requirement for them to notify us, but it certainly would have been good faith to.
Yes, it would have been. And we were all told to immediately notify any of the agencies in any state that we were in when we were unloading equipment. That said, so there's no fine then, or there's no repercussions for their late notification?
Well, it is a violation of law for an unlicensed discharge. And we are actively pursuing this as an enforcement case. We have done an investigation, are still in that process. We issued a notice of violation to Sprague last week with the intent to follow up and ultimately resolve this through an administrative consent agreement that typically would include additional corrective actions to prevent something like this from happening. And again, ensuring there's a complete cleanup and potentially monetary penalties is typically how a consent agreement works.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you for the work you do too.
Thank you.
Representative.
I'm not sure if you said.
Representative Dudera.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Just a quick follow up on that, Mr. Kavanaugh, because constituents in my district, as well as Representative Ziegler's, and this is, you know, huge. We're getting lots and lots of questions on this. So how can we stay on top of what's happening? Is there a site that you can direct us to that we can let people know so that they can monitor what's happening with the spray issue?
Certainly anyone that's interested, they could request to be copied on information. And we've been in touch with some interested parties, such as the Friends of Sears Island. We've gotten letters from the town of Islesboro, and so we're going to stay in communication with them throughout the process. So certainly if you were copied on some of that correspondence, so we'll keep those parties informed as we go through this.
Very good. Thank you.